What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure. Want it to be known.
Are y'all recording?
That.
Yep.
All right. Hey, y'all.
Oh. This hat is terrible.
Good morning.
How much prep time did you take?
None.
To get ready this morning? None.
Oh, to get ready?
Yeah.
A little 10.
So it was like roll out.
Roll out.
Brush teeth real quick.
Roll out.
Round the bed and
roll out. I don't like my ponytail in the hole. I don't. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Know For Sure podcast. Megan hates my hat, as do I, but it's either that or you know what's under here.
Just show the back. Model it for us.
So right here, we have a nice blonde ombre. You see the root? That's called ombre.
It's not ombre.
There is a thing over the E.
Okay, go ahead.
That's it. That's all we have.
So we are taking donations, hat donations. And so any type of hat.
P.O. box. What's your P.O. box?
You're going to be pissed. You're going to have 100 hats. I'm like, yeah, bitch, now give me the hat. Since you want to be so mad about the hat. Yeah.
What's the tag say? Where is it from? Just take it off real quick.
Ooh, you child of God.
It's okay. We're thankful.
You know I will.
I know you will. And you have, Jesus. Oh.
Jackie? Ooh, Jesus.
It's so soft, though. It's growing out. Y'all know I had a fade. Where is that from?
Yeah, we're going to get tagged.
87% so nylon.
So it's a workout hat. Okay. So it's cooling for your head. It's not going to be a lot in there.
There's yeah, no, but if Jackie want to give me the beanie, you want to switch, Jackie?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Because that's right. Crazy.
That is absolutely absurd.
Y'all, welcome to the Know For Sure podcast. My hat is hideous, and you're probably going to see it for the next couple episodes because we're bulk shooting today, and it's all
what?
I got. Bulk.
And you have on black socks.
And I have on
knickerbocker socks. I be so tacky, y'all. I want to be comfortable.
Can you be comfortable without being tacky? Hi, guys. Thank you for returning back to this insane
chaos
podcast.
You got the nerve to put on a diamond chain.
Baby girl. Yeah.
You got the audacity of you to have a Cuban and a cross with diamonds. And you have on black socks.
And you can't put on a presentable hat? And you want to ice out your wrist? That is crazy.
Some reflection is needed.
It helped.
It helps.
It did help.
It does. Sometimes you just have to see you. Was it helpful to see yourself? Is that what saw it?
Yeah, I'm glad you turned that thing around.
Well, amen. Braylon's here, and she's here in her full authentic self.
Yes, I am.
And that's all that matters.
And we're back.
You want to hit the...
We're back.
Braylon, that's,
I'm sorry.
You can give a little bit more effort than that. Girl, don't start. Come on, do your key, do your note.
We're back. That's too high.
Yeah, for sure.
We're back. Please.
No, because you know that wasn't the right note.
I know, but I was hoping you could find it.
I can't.
What is my note?
I can find the note that
okay,
we
tell
always
me what's
had.
My note.
No, I don't want to do your note. Do your note and
we're
I'll do mine.
Back.
That wasn't it. Go ahead, do it again. That wasn't it. Go ahead.
It's the hat.
It is the hat. It's the crochet
throwing
in the back.
Me off.
We're back. Ooh, that was so pretty.
It was better. I wouldn't say pretty. It was better than where we are. We're back.
We're back. And we have a guest. And she is embarrassing me.
We have a guest. And she's embarrassing herself. This is like.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Because we have mentioned this guest often or a few times in our podcast saying that we wanted to have her on. And I have been, I feel like a student of our guests for the last few months. Yeah. And I'm just so excited. Yeah. And so, yeah, everyone.
Welcome.
Jackie. Do you like to go by your full name or just Jackie?
People just automatically say the full name.
Okay.
But Jackie is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Jackie.
Hill Perry.
That works. See? It don't feel right to not say the whole thing. It don't feel full.
Is that your maiden name and Larry name?
Yeah, I was Jackie Hill. And then I became Jackie Hill Perry.
Love
you
it.
You added a Perry.
I did. Because Jackie Perry don't feel right.
Mm. How long have you been married?
10 years in March.
That's beautiful.
I cannot wait to add something to my end. It's like Raylan Greenfield Johnson.
You going to keep your last name?
No.
I'm getting rid of that. Generational curse. God, no, I'm just kidding. We got to get that up off me. Ooh, Greenfield got to go.
I'm just kidding, Daddy. Can you say something?
My dad asked me to keep my last name when I got married.
Really?
I'm divorced now, but when I got married, my dad was like, "Are you sure you don't want to keep your last name?" Mm-hmm. I felt like that. I was like, "No, Dad,
I want to take my husband's last name."
That's so mean for you to ask me that. But
now I was like, "Well,
like there might have been some wisdom in that."
You sure you want to stay Marbury?
Marbury.
Yeah.
I don't even think that fits me anymore either, though.
Megan Marbury. I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was always Marbury, or no one could ever say it right.
That'd be hard to pronounce.
Marbury?
Marbury?
Yeah.
Megan Marbury?
Because, you know, I'm from St. Louis. We would have said, like, Marbury or
yes,
something.
Yes, that's a lot of people say that, Marbury. No, and I'm like, there's no U. There's no...
It's like library. It's too many syllables. Too many syllables. So library is just easy.
Library
is like you just say.
Library. It's like you're hungry.
I am.
Are you hungry?
Mm-hmm. Are you?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, she's always thinking about food. Are you hungry, Jackie?
Starving.
Are you really?
Jesus.
What do you want to eat? Like, what's your favorite snack?
We'll order you
snack?
I'm not a snack. You can't have a meal.
I'm not a snacker.
You're not.
But if I am going to get a snack, if I'm not caring about like calorie intake and stuff like that, it'd be like a muffin or a piece of cake or a pie.
So you're like on a...
a cheesecake. Something like that.
Okay, Jackie.
Like,
Jackie,
I don't like snacks. Like M&M's,
like
little
chips,
like pieces of Twiddlers, and I don't. That
so
doesn't
you
make
like
sense.
Cake and
I want a little baby meal.
For sure. Said, I know that's how I be.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I don't want nothing little.
Yeah.
This crunchy.
I'm a snacker.
Yeah, you're a snacker.
I am a habitual snacker.
You like a little rabbit.
Literally.
Okay.
Even meals, I snack on them. I don't eat meals.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that.
First thing you said when I came in, she's like, "What do you eat? You're little."
But I feel like you're little.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. Because I had two babies during the pandemic. And so I had to. So I'm trying to get back to my pre-pandemic.
Your youngest two?
My youngest two are 2 and 1.
So how many do you have?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so
and
cool.
They're so cute.
They're
Thank
so
you.
Cute.
That's a blessing.
I love watching it on social media.
I didn't know how they would come out.
Well,
so I'm really grateful.
They're cute.
I thought my oldest was not cute when he came out.
Oh, my like God. You always say that.
They don't look well at first.
And then it's like, y'all, let the baby take his first breath before he's on Instagram. Please.
Don't do him like that.
Get that little alien off of there. Let him grow into it.
They need at least a solid 6 months.
Yeah, for sure.
Lord.
Because Eli looked like Benjamin Button. Yeah. Like, it looked like he was aging wrong.
One of my kids, her eye was to the left a little bit.
You were so
and
scared.
And I was so terrified. And I told Preston, I said, I don't know if the Lord is trying to test my vanity or something. I was like, but like, you remember when in that Tyler Perry movie with Janet Jackson, her eye was like drifting a little bit. And he was like, just let her keep growing. And it went back.
Ooh,
it went to his
regular. Crossed. But like he had crossed eyes, and that was scary.
Yeah,
that is scary. And I was fully okay with being like, no, my kid can't have that.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line.
That's where I draw the line because I'm not about to be perplexed every time he looks at me
all day
crossing. And they were like, it wasn't like it was like down. I'm like, oh, Eli. And then he was balding. His hands was long. He was weird looking. I was like, he's ugly. He's ugly.
And now he's the most handsome
kid. And now he's just like the most handsome kid.
That's good.
And he really loves God.
That's good.
And I'm proud of him.
It takes time.
It does take time.
I don't have any kids. If anybody wants to have kids, call me.
No, if anyone wants to get married.
Get married first.
Get married first, for sure.
Braylon is one thing that I do like that she does, and when she talks about having kids, like, you don't talk about having kids without having a family.
A family, yeah.
And I think that that's super important.
Very important.
And I think watching you, I've been able to see such a, like, friendship in your marriage that is, like, very...
It's inspiring.
Yes.
Yeah. And it shows, like, it exists.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, you guys are, like, friends.
And y'all be disagreeing on, you know, too.
You got to.
And I love seeing that.
Because I feel like people, they just want the romance.
Yeah.
But there's, in a real relationship, there's times where romance doesn't exist. And so what sustains you? Mm. What sustains you is the friendship. Is that I don't love you right now, but at least I like you. At least I enjoy you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think they hold hands. I think it's important.
Go ahead. I'm going to say y'all were friends first.
Yeah.
For a long time before y'all
We were friends for
dated.
3 years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, cool. I was the one who gave him advice on, you know, the little ratchets that were demon possessed that he couldn't see. Because, you know, Christian, they could just be really naive and foolish. And so I could just see things and just help him. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, when we started to sense that the Lord was pulling us together, it was awkward and it was weird and it was strange because it was weird to shift from friend to boyfriend, girlfriend type thing. But I'm grateful that the Lord started us that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I got to see him. Like, because when you dating people first,
you see their representative. You say that all
you're
the time.
Seeing the projection.
Yeah.
But when I know you, you're my friend. You're my friend. So I don't even got to do all that no more.
Did it feel safer to be like, I feel like there's like a safety. I think vulnerability is like super important in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like a friendship helps that vulnerability. Cause I feel like we're more vulnerable with our platonic friends than we might be with a romantic.
Yeah.
Because partner. Again, you're trying to show up in like your best self and impress them.
Yeah.
But when your friend has already seen the worst of you.
Yeah.
And then that turns into a romantic relationship.
It's like,
you already know me, and it feels more safe.
I think yes and no.
Okay.
I think because we were friends, there was a degree to which he knew me. Mm. And so there was a degree to which there was safety. But when I knew that we were transitioning into something deeper, that meant that I have to expose more of me that I didn't have to expose
in the friendship.
Because as a friend, I can rightly have certain boundaries, right? But if we're moving towards marriage, now there's actually like there's more exposure that's required of me, and I don't want to go there.
You need to see more of me.
Yeah, I went the opposite direction and just shut down and just became really guarded because it was like, okay, now you have the potential to hurt me.
Wow.
Because as a friend, you hurt me, it's cool. We can do what we want. But if like I let you into
my heart. Mm-mm. Yeah. Who initiated it?
Him. So I started to kind of develop this affection for him, and I just didn't know what to do with it. I felt like it might have been the enemy, like trying to distract me or something. And so I was being a disciple. I was living in LA at the time. I was being a disciple, and I told my disciple, I was like, I feel like I like Preston Perry, and I don't know what to do with that. And I was probably 20 at this time. And she was like, pray about it, which felt really unhelpful because I wanted
I wanted
bullet points.
For sure.
And I prayed about it for a year.
Wow.
And I was in Chicago because that's where he's from. And it was getting to the point where like my affections were coming out. And I'm a person... it's hard to read me sometimes, which it keeps me safe, which isn't actually good, but it's hard to read me. And so, but I felt like my vulnerabilities and all these things. Over. So I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want from me and Preston. I was like, I don't know if you want us to be married. I don't know if you want us to be together. I was like, but if it is your will, exact words, if it's your will for us to be married, put it on his heart to pursue me.
Wow.
I said, if it's in your will for us to be friends, give me the self-control to treat him like a brother and not like a crush.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I didn't know Preston had been fasting for God to reveal his wife to him. So while I'm praying this, the Lord was bringing my self to his mind as his wife. So a week later he was like, hey, I need to talk to you.
Oh Jesus.
And I was like, why?
Because it's so cute.
I just prayed. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so he called me and he was like, I've been praying, fasting, and I don't even know if you like me. He was like, but I feel like the Lord is putting on my heart for me to pursue you. And he was like, and I'm not saying you're my wife. I'm just saying I want us to move in a direction to seeing what's up. Oh
my God.
I would have stopped.
I cried. The Lord has put it on your heart to pursue me?
Literally.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
That's how it works. When the Lord puts people together, those types of things just work out.
Wow.
So,
well, we're single, so give us some.
Does he have any single friends that are pursuing anyone right now?
Is anybody...
Is the Lord looking putting anybody on your heart?
No.
With a hat on.
I feel sorry for y'all. I do.
I get it.
No, the,
no, 100%.
The single now, situation is interesting.
10 years later, dating, how y'all dated years ago, is so different now.
I believe.
I don't even know what that's
I don't
like.
Even know what it was then because I wasn't... Which really? I wasn't even pursuing marriage or relationship at all.
Right.
Because I had just come to Jesus. So in my mind, it was, I need to figure out what life with Jesus is.
I know,
before
that's right.
I even entertain that.
Yeah, that's like, just too much work. Ooh. And so, but I also was a very independent, which is also a subtly selfish person. So I was a person that would tell you that I was content in my singleness when I was just really selfish. I didn't want to have to share my life, my time, my money, my finances, my trauma, my issues, all the things. And so I think the Lord had to send me somebody to help me be like Jesus. So, so I think in the opposite direction, there are some people that will remain single because they need to grow independent of somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
Jackie.
Was that deep or something?
Wow.
God, that must have ministered to you in a really special way.
So tell us a little bit about. Sorry, touch it. I want to know how she came to Jesus.
Yes. I do have something question that you said. You said something that, oh my God, it smacked me in the chest when you said it about how you came to Jesus. Part of that. Mm-hmm. But I want to just ask a question or get your thoughts on, because what it feels like, what you and Preston have was like divine. Like it felt like it was like a very divine appointed thing that happened.
Yeah.
And because God gives us free will, and we talk about this often based off of Miles Monroe, and he's like, you have free will. Choose your partner.
Mm-hmm. You choose your partner.
God's not gonna, this idea of like a soulmate, one person being out there for you. So what are your thoughts on the ideas of that? Like, is there, because God placed you on Preston's heart and vice versa, right? That was like a God thing. Is that the way it should be, or is it just you choose? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or
maybe both.
Maybe there's wisdom in how you choose. Maybe God is looking for us to go to him to choose.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But what, because I feel like that might be hard and confusing for people to navigate through, especially when your relationship with God is maybe new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do I choose?
Yeah.
If I have free will, do I get to choose, and how do I do that?
Yeah. I think the bigger question is how to discern God's will. Because that's basically what we're trying to get at, is how do I know what God wants me to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so like I don't think we become so rigid when it comes to pursuing God's will, when it comes to jobs, right? Like, or school, like we'll say, Lord, help me to know what school you want me to go to. Okay. And then we got all these options and we make a decision, but there was still some consideration of where God might want you to go.
Yeah.
And so I think even when it comes to spouses and all the things, it's just, have you even asked him? Like, God, do you want me to be married?
Wow.
Do you want me to be single?
Wow.
Do you want me to date? Do you want me to be on this app? Do you want me to text this dude? Do you like,
we don't
want to be that dependent.
Ooh,
and that's the problem.
That.
That's the problem. And so, but I think the lack of dependence, even in pursuing God before we pursue relationships, is that we're afraid that God won't give us what we want.
That's what I'm saying. So if God, you're asking God, there's so much in this. If you're saying, I think the point of, is he Lord in your life?
Right.
And I think that's a question.
Is he, first?
Is he Lord? Like,
yeah.
Is he your Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Which means, are you going, like, are you allowing him to rule your life?
Right.
That part. And then two, if that is my biggest challenge, is it's not that I don't believe that you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I know that you might choose not to.
Right.
And what will that do for my faith?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's scary to me sometimes. Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he can't just be Lord. He has to also be good.
Mm.
Because if he's just Lord, that means you just,
you
got a lot of power and a lot of control, but you don't have the ethical nature to actually use that control for my good.
Mm-hmm.
But
for
if you're Lord and good, then it means the way you exercise your power is actually always for my good. And so that's, I think when it comes to singleness, jobs, whatever, it's this faith that however you lead me, even if it does not make sense, it is good for me. Because marriage is so hard.
She said, let me tell you.
It is so difficult.
On.
You have two sinners
Jesus.
Attempting to be one flesh. I'm sure you could
go ahead. Absolutely.
I don't want to construct a hard God hasn't called me to.
Wow.
I don't want that.
Wow.
I want a heart that I'm graced to carry.
Wow.
And so if I know that God has sent me here, created this kind of circumstance, I know I'm called to him. So I know I'm graced for him. But that's a whole nother thing.
Purposeful. You're in there and you're like, this is the purpose. This is God's will. I can fight through this.
Because
you already know God called me to this.
I don't want a heart that I wasn't called to. And I think
and most times we're choosing hearts that we weren't called to.
Oh, for sure. Because it's comfortable and I got somebody to lay next to me and tell me I'm pretty and tell me I'm beautiful. That's it. Oh, Lord. That's all you want? You don't want somebody that's going to pray for you and fight demons and for
cover
you?
Come on.
Fight demons fight for
demons. Me. Another day.
You can't pray?
You can't fight demons?
You want to have my child?
Oh, my God.
I need somebody covering this. Covering.
My.
You can't pray?
Facts.
And you want to have a baby?
Facts.
What are you talking about?
Facts. Like, when the demon possessed nurse come in, you lollygag and they can't even discern that she done did a ritual before she done came. I need you to have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And don't be a woman who's on mission for God, doing podcasts and wearing the like Jesus shirts and the hat with the X on the back. Like, don't be that. And then have a man who isn't on one accord with you.
With you, yeah.
That leaves a door open for you to be attacked in a way that you didn't have to be.
Oh, wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Because he's not covering you.
You don't have a guard.
Wow.
So that's a thing.
Do you have a brother?
He's like almost 50 and he's married. So,
a friend,
a couple,
what they look like.
Okay, so I could go in several directions.
I want to know the beginning of her Christ
journey. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then you take off. No, I just want to know that beginning
process.
Thinking about so much. That little mind is just
Jackie. Okay, tell us how you.
Came to Jesus.
I really want to know that because I'm on my new journey with like having more relationship outside of religion. Yeah. Both of our parents are pastors. My dad's a pastor, grew up in the church. I tell this story all the time. And just coming to him and knowing Jesus for myself. I just experienced that and had that journey. So I want to know like what brought you to Christ and changed your life in that way.
Yeah. So long story, but short story is I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I was exposed to Christian ideas really early. And so my aunt Merle was like the most savedest woman I've ever known in my life.
She Come sounds on, Merle. Safe.
Like I've never seen her wear pants like in my life. Like she just
not even at the house.
No, it was dresses. It was jean dresses through the week, and then like the real like Baptist dresses on Sundays or whatever. And she just was like so contrary to like what I live Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. what I saw, what I observed, and stuff like that. So she would take me to church. And I think there is where like a seed was implanted about just God, the Bible, worship, all the things. But at the end of the day, I really am an extremely rebellious person. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Mm. So the whole idea of Christianity in the truest form, I was like, I like God, mm-hmm. but like
that,
like holiness, like that's crazy. And so, but during this time, I think some of the sins I'm struggling with is I'm introduced to pornography when I was around 6. So wow. I was watching pornography really early. Then there's masturbation, and then there's same sex attraction. I noticed that I liked girls probably first or second grade.
Mm. Wow.
Then there's molestation. So you're also dealing with just the perversion and the brokenness that's introduced into like a young child's like. Life really early. Yeah. And so all of that's carrying with me. Then you get to middle school and it's just like, okay, I gotta be like funny or I gotta be cool. Okay, mm-hmm. let me get Jordans and Abercrombie and you know, or Hollister because Air Apostle was like the broke version of that.
Yep,
and so like, but it's me trying to be a people pleaser, to be mm-hmm. affirmed and to get affection and stuff like that. High school comes, like I'm smoking weed every day, lips black all the time. And the weed though, was because I knew too much about God to not be convicted by what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like
what do you mean?
Like when you grow up hearing that sin is real mm-hmm. and that the wages of sin is death, mm-hmm. then when you sin, you know that this will lead to death. Mm-hmm. And so I would smoke because I was afraid to go to hell. It was like every night I just didn't, I was just afraid that God would like kill me or something. Like there was this like awareness that I'm not living right.
Mm.
And I know I'm not living right, but I also don't want to live right. Wow. So I don't know what you want me to do.
Wow.
And so,
'cause you had no desire to live right.
None.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely none. And so I told my cousin, I told my cousin who was my Aunt Merle's daughter, I was like, I feel like God is like calling me or something. Because
like, it's I feel like I might be special. No. I might be leading
a revolution out here. Like,
I might be that girl.
I'm going to share something I've never shared before.
Come on, KFS exclusive.
Girl.
I was doing something very intimate with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I felt the burden of God.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh,
wait.
It was like, I felt like he was like, this ain't what I called you to do. In the moment, right? And so those types of things, I was like, oh, he really won't like let up. Because you can't be interrupting that.
Knocking.
Like, right. Like, not right. This. Like, it's right. 11 p.m.
You can't do that. Courtesy.
Wait till she leaves. Like, I mean, geez, wait till I'm thinking about what I did after. You know I'm gonna get to that point. You could have met me in my despair. In my regret.
No, but God he's really good at interrupting things on purpose. And so I called my cousin. I was like, I feel like God is calling me. I was like, but I don't want him. Like, I was like, I'm just cool on that. And she was like, I know enough about God to know that he's gonna do all that he has to do to show you that you need him.
Wow.
Again, I didn't know what that meant. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
And so I ended up going to jail, getting arrested for stealing. My car got towed and they took my car. I had bought a car off eBay. Don't ask me why. But okay,
what did
ask
you
me
steal?
Why. Ask me why.
Why
ask
did you why. No, what did I want to know what you stole? And so I don't try to brush over that story. No. What did you do?
I used to steal clothes before we went to the club so I could use the money for weed.
Okay.
So I would be like, nah, like I'm gonna get a new outfit, but I'm not gonna pay for it.
Right.
And so I could use that $20 to get 2 sacks. I don't know if they call it sacks anymore.
I don't think they call it sacks.
Okay. So at St. Louis, you can get 2 for $20, and it was 2 sacks for $20.
Sacks.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I was using my ability to be efficient for sin.
I was finessing with the devil.
Like now it's making me a very good business person. But anyway, so I got caught. I didn't get caught. The person I was with would try to steal a polo shirt out of Dillard's. And so I got caught with them, got arrested. I bought this car off eBay because I really wanted the car for Minister Society. And they didn't have it. Why are you looking at me like that?
Okay. You wanted a car from Minister Society.
You look like a mother that's like concerned.
It's like,
why are you?
I'm trying to figure out
we're putting the pieces
together. Yeah,
I'm putting the pieces together.
No judgment. We love you.
You're hilarious.
We love you.
I appreciate that.
How I feel about the hat is how I feel about that car.
Yeah. Now it was given like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, parental.
I didn't see that coming.
It's okay. So like the car, the stealing, the jail, all the things. And when they towed my car away, I was with my friend smoking a blunt.
Why they were towing it?
They had told it and we had to walk back to my girlfriend's house.
Got it. I was like, were you in the car?
But I still had my weed.
Yeah.
So I walked back to the car. And I was like, we got to like get some peace in light of this. Because I had this car 5 weeks and y'all just took it from me.
He's like, who got a license?
And I didn't have a title. So I don't know how I'm going to get it back. And I work at Wendy's. So I can't get it out.
I am at a full disadvantage.
I'm $30 an hour. How am I going to get it out? Anyway.
And I work at Wendy's.
Like nothing was in my favor.
When you said that story, you were like, my contact fell in the lady's burger.
Oh, you saw that.
And she drove back around.
Gave it back.
And gave it back.
She said,
did somebody lose a contact?
No, it's how she said, hey, I just came
you
through
said,
here.
And white people are too nice.
They're too nice. They got mad at me for that comment. I think I deleted it. But anyway.
Sorry. Please don't bring it back up. I'm sorry.
I'm smoking the blunt and I tell my friend, I'm like, does God really want me that bad?
Mm.
Because it felt like he was making my life chaotic.
Mm.
And it was becoming, mind you, my dad died. So the chaos was God's mercy because he was creating circumstances where I could not find safety apart from anybody but him.
But him.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, I'm not even going to let you. Like some of us really be messed up in the head thinking that being prosperous is God's blessing. Sometimes that's a curse. Sometimes that's actually not a blessing for life to be so easy. So for me, I now rejoice that God kind of messed up some stuff so I could look up. And so anyway, October, this is 2008, so I was 19. October, I'm in my room.
It's just she keeps going as if she didn't say something. And it's like,
That was a word.
Well, maybe you should elaborate a little bit and help us.
I'm trying to move the story along for you.
I get it, but then don't say stuff like that.
I don't know how.
Articulate things. I know. That to me. From the kingdom.
I don't know.
I am going to listen.
Just put a pin in it.
Okay.
And we'll come back. We can circle back. Jesus. I'm in my room watching. I really believe it was Making the Band. And the
Great
band,
show.
The band was never
Which
made.
Which one?
Yeah. The,
not like the original?
It might have been the Danny D. Kane
Love.
Season.
That was a great season.
But I don't think it was, because I don't remember it being successful.
They were
successful. It was one of them.
Okay.
I was watching something unspiritual, is really the point.
I was watching something secular.
It wasn't TV. It wasn't none of that.
One day star.
And yeah. I felt I had a thought come through my mind that said, she will be the death of you. And I said, wait, I wouldn't say that to myself. And I don't think the devil would say that to me. And the thing when God speaks, now I'm familiar with his voice, is that
wow.
it's a very strong idea that's confirmed in scripture and resonates in your body. You know what I'm saying?
Body.
So it was like it interrupted all thoughts and it wasn't triggered by any external thought, right? Mm. So that's why I say if I was watching something Christian,
it would have made sense.
Then perhaps I could have just said, oh, that's just my subconscious, like being in alignment with what I'm watching.
Mm.
I wasn't watching anything related to God, wasn't thinking about God. So when that happened, I was like, whoa, like God is trying to intercept this moment. And
thank you, Lord.
I just kind of started to think and talk to the Lord. And I was like, but God, my immediate response was, I don't want to be straight though, because I presumed that God calling me to himself was the same as him calling me to be heterosexual.
Mm.
I didn't understand that he's just like, no, just, I'm actually just calling you to be with me.
Come here.
Right?
Jesus, Lord.
And so I heard the Lord say, just learn to love me and we'll work everything else out.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. So I started to think about everything that I loved and enjoyed and its consequences. I'm like, okay, I'm a liar. That's sin. I'm a thief. That's sin. I masturbate and watch porn. I know that's sinful somewhere. That's sin.
I know that ain't right.
I'm rebellious to my parents. Like, people forget that's part of the commandments,
right,
is to obey and honor your parents. I'm rebellious to every piece of authority in my life. That's sin. Like, everything I did was wicked according to scripture. And what it showed me is that my issue was not just my sexuality. It was my heart.
Wow.
My entire heart was an idol making factory. I did not want to love God more than everything that he's made. Period.
Jesus.
And so I think that's one of the conversations that we have to have about this conversation on sexuality. Even when we get to, we isolate the loud sins. I have to keep going.
Oh,
you want me to stop?
That was so good. I'm sorry.
I'll stop.
That was crazy.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Say it again. Can you say it again?
I don't know what that's it.
Oh, you don't know what you said.
Now you don't know what God told you
to
say.
I don't know what that's it.
It
Y'all
was
want
a
me
lot.
To wrap it up?
It was just, no.
Because
no.
It ain't wrapped up yet.
It can't be. Just, you said.
No, I don't even know what she said.
You said that you didn't love God more than you loved what he made.
I loved everything God made more than I loved
him.
So, and I say that because, especially when you grow up in church or even the way social media is constructed, you think God is only troubled by your loudest sins. It's not the loud stuff is just a symptom of the heart.
Yeah.
It's that your heart is the problem. Mm-hmm. It's your soil is corrupted. And so the fruit, the plants that's coming out of that are just indicative of the heart. And so that's why you could try to stop the big sins and still be problematic.
Lord.
Because you haven't fixed the problem. Lord. That's not the problem. You are.
Where are you going?
For sure.
You got it from here. She has it.
For sure.
You left.
I'm sorry.
So
for sure.
And that's Romans.
You talked about that.
That's Romans 1, where it talks about idolatry. You know what I'm saying? Is that they exchange the glory of the creator for created things. And so, like, the way I grew up, I just thought, okay, I just gotta be a good person. I just gotta stop calling this person. I just gotta stop watching this, or I just gotta stop listening to this. And I tried to mechanize holiness. Mm. Like, you know.
So what does that mean?
Like, if I stop doing certain things, behaviors. Then that will change me.
Yeah.
But that didn't change me. It actually just made me more discouraged.
Yeah.
So that puts me in a position where I have to recognize that if I want to be different, I can't do it. God has to do it.
Oh,
salvation is a miracle
God.
That the Holy Spirit himself has to create. What does it mean to be a new creation if not that God himself does it? And you don't know how to create nothing that God ain't gave you.
Wow.
So he has to give you a new heart, right? And that's what I never understood about church. I'm doing the altar calls. I'm saying the prayer 15,000 times. I'm trying, but nothing ever changed me until I finally said, God, I don't know how to do this.
Until
I don't know.
Went to him and said that.
In utter dependence.
Yes, I need you to do it.
I don't know how to do this, but if you want me to be like you, you have to do it. And I was different. So that's my story. The beginning.
Not ending on, and I was different.
Yeah, I had to wrap it up so you can make a reel out of it. You know, you got to make it real conclusive.
You're so freaking cool.
Oh, man.
For sure. I'm like, you just said so much, like, Jesus. And it's not the change behavior, it's the change of heart.
Heart.
Megan, you said that recently, which has resonated with me a lot. You think when you come to God or you are newly saved and you newly have a relationship with him, at least for me, it's like all these things that you feel like you can't do anymore.
Right.
Like you said, and I went through that a little bit. Yeah. Even on social media, it's like, oh, when you're talking about Christ now, are you still twerking? Give me a second. Yes, I am. Give me a minute. He's working on the heart. So it's like all these lists of checklist things that you have that, no, it's the heart.
And it's because you're developing out loud.
100%.
Not many people
100%
can even relate to what it's like to learn discipleship publicly. And so I think people need to be gracious towards you.
Wow.
So when you say, or when you say God had to do it, I understand because in the sense of I've experienced it, so I understand that. I don't know if everyone has to come through it and what feels for me was like super volatile.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like he had to, like that wilderness season for real, like he had to bring me to a place of wilderness and isolation to break me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he, like, usually I feel like people resent the wilderness, but it's like there's safety in it because it's just you and him.
Mm-hmm.
And at least a lot of those ugly things that are coming out, it's just you and him to have that moment. And so that's a mercy to bring you to a wilderness, but it's wildly uncomfortable and it's painful.
Yeah.
And I often, like I put this in one of my posts recently, but I was like, you know, lately my journal has been filled with more tears than words. I haven't really been able to write anything because when I take time to get before him, I feel broken.
Mm.
Like he's constantly, like I'm sitting there and I just feel broken.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a lot to say, but I know that he's interpreting all of it. Like he interprets it. But how do you know and what do you do to put yourself in a position to be, to have your heart change? Mm. Like, what does that, because if he has to do it and we come to him, because I'm saying that I have a place of understanding of, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of figuring it out.
Yeah.
I'm tired of feeling like you've called me, but nothing is working for me right now. Mm-hmm. I feel alone.
Yeah.
I feel that you've abandoned me. I feel like everyone has abandoned me. That's not always, and that's not truth. It's just what it feels like. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more frustrating. Mm. And I thought you were bringing me to a season where things were going to get better. Mm-hmm. And things are getting worse for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I struggle with. Mm-hmm. You know that this isn't easy for me. And you keep allowing it to happen. Mm. So, what do you do? Mm. Like, how do you know? Because I know that there's been a heart change in the way that I'm approaching him. And the way that I'm navigating and seeing things. But how do you put yourself in a position to let that change happen? Because he has to do it. So what is that? And how do you know he's done it?
A part of the process is that he is changing you by the fact that you're engaging with God during the process. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Like, you don't have to be having a conversation. You don't have to be curious. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be journaling and crying. Like, but you keep trying. Mm-hmm. You keep talking. You keep asking, and that means what he's doing is working. Mm. Because now you're more dependent on him for everything than you would have been if he let your trial or your season be. Because he knows how much breaking you need, and he's not even broken you to the degree that you actually need it, because he knows that'll crush you. Mm. But he's breaking you just enough to make you dependent.
Wow.
So that when he does lift the suffering, when he does lift it, that intimacy that developed will carry you when prosperity is present. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, God is so kind that he will leverage difficulty as a means of protecting us. And I say that because, like, even this last year, I put this on Threads yesterday.
You was going off on Threads. It's like, relax.
I gotta get
off.
Back on there.
You was going.
She said back.
The quotes that you were putting, I commented. I was like, immediately, this is in my Amazon cart. The spiritual leadership quote. Yeah.
That's because I'm in class, so I'm reading a lot of books. But this year has been one of private brokenness, where just spiritual stuff has happened, you know, like sicknesses in my family, difficulty in my marriage, insecurity in my heart, complications with friendships, or even navigating like, oh, people really just be around me to be around me. They don't really love me. Mm. Or they just be trying to like use me, but like in the name of God. Or betrayal, like deep, profound betrayal that you just could have never saw happening, right? And what it's, I can't explain it. It's like, I think for a long time, because I'm a thinker, I thought myself as weak, but I didn't actually feel it. Mm. You know, like, yeah, I'm weak. God is strong. But it's like, no, like, I feel weak.
Mm. Yes.
I feel it. And it's shifted how often I pray. It shifted even I could be a very self-assured, arrogant person, naturally, just because I'm smart. And so I can think like, oh yeah, I'm straight. I understand.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I get it.
But it's like, nah, like the Lord is like, even your intelligence won't carry you. That's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
You are not resourceful enough to do all that I've called you to do. You need me. But the crazy thing is that even in this season, I feel like my ministry has been more fruitful. Mm-hmm. More effective, more clear, more simple to a certain degree. And it's all because I'm more dependent. So that's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. He wants to
use
this
season, you. Yeah.
He wants to show you that he doesn't need you to use you. He don't need you. Mm. He don't need you, but he wants to use you. And to use you fully, he has to clean you out. So he's just being good.
I'm sorry.
Does it make sense? It's okay. It's okay. Did it make sense at all? I don't think I answered your question.
You did.
Okay.
And you know you did.
I don't think I did. Because I didn't say nothing about ass. I didn't say nothing about
no.
I didn't say nothing about the heart and him changing and stuff like that.
You did.
Okay.
Did you, how long have you had your platform? Like, I want a little bit of your backstory because I just recently came, or not came to your platform, but found you mm-hmm. in the past. It's been less than a year, I think. Mm-hmm. And I just turned into a super fan.
I know, it's
I'm like, can I say fan? But like before you came to Christ or even before your ministry on your platform, did you always have a public platform where you had to go through this transition publicly? Because that's what I'm mm-hmm. kind of going through.
It started early. Okay. So I became a Christian in 2008. So I was 19. And then when I was 20, I started writing poetry because I just had this real desire to be deep. And I was like, oh, deep people write poems. So
sure.
That's logical. Literally the logic.
That logical. Has been me before. I'm like, I have to write poetry.
Yeah.
That's not your calling, babe. No, you want to be deep so bad. Do you see that flower on that wall? It's like, this is whack as fuck. I'm sorry. Excuse my language. Right. Excuse my language. It's the heart.
Girl.
So I started writing poetry. You're good. And I got connected to a ministry in LA where I ended up living for a couple of years. And through poetry is what started the public platform.
Okay.
And so I'm grateful to God that he's like expanded it gradually. Like, and I think that's some of the struggle we're seeing now when it comes to Christians. Like, social media has made it where people get famous very quick. And so they don't have any time to really develop. So the Lord gave me the ability to develop.
Cool.
So
cool.
So one of the, like, because you were an artist before you were saved. Like, you've always been an artist, right?
No. I did nothing before I was saved.
She's like, I worked at Wendy's.
Nothing. I didn't. I went to work and I smoked weed. That's lit. And I was getting gas stations to replace lighters all the time. That's
so
like.
You preach, right? Are you a pastor?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Never.
A reverend.
Don't say never.
A bishop.
Don't say never.
I'm just Jackie. I'm Jackie.
Jackie
who has
speaks.
The spiritual gift of teaching.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's
okay,
what
okay,
I was saying.
Okay. But do you think the abilities, the creative abilities that you had, you don't feel like you acknowledged those until you came?
I don't think I was surrounded by people who had a discerning eye to see what God had placed in me and drew it out. Because I honestly think sometimes, like, when you're around people, it's just people just, and I don't think it's their fault. Like, my mom was just, she was working. Mm-hmm. She was a single mother, right? Like, I'm not in church. I'm not surrounded by Christians. I'm not surrounded by discerning or wise people. And so that's not even what we think about.
You're not.
Is, let me see about you and,
no.
and mm-hmm. pour
I'm
into
to
you.
Survive.
And call, yeah.
Day to day.
So I think that's what I had no idea. That I had gifts. I had no idea that I was smart. I knew I was rational, logical, all the things, but I didn't know my potential until I became a Christian. And Christians started to say, you got some wisdom. You're really creative. You're insightful.
Wow.
You're a leader. And it's like, oh, am I?
And that ignited something in you to pursue those.
Because they would say things that resonated with what I felt called to do.
Oh my God.
I felt this desire to preach the Bible.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then people being like, no, I think you got the gift of teaching. I knew I could be in rooms and start to like see how people move and understand them without them even saying a word. Oh, that's the gift of discernment.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Like, I knew that like I would say things nobody wanted to say. Oh, that's like a prophetic gift. Like that you want to speak into culture and you don't even care what it'll cost you.
Ooh.
I didn't know. That's why we need people. To be like, I see this in you
and light that fire and ignite it.
Go do that.
Oh, that's dope.
And to if people have position, like my pastor at the time, he had the position to create space for me to cultivate my gift. Right. And so like I think that was a big part of it. Whereas like one time it was a Sunday and he randomly threw people up that could teach or thought they could teach on the stage. He was like, yeah, go preach.
Go say something.
Preach what? I've been saying for 70 seconds, sir. And so I just found like a random verse and was like, Jesus said right here, you know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we need to go be making disciples of all nations and he gonna help us. That's all I had. So that's what I did.
That was your first sermon.
No, my first sermon was about hell.
Jackie.
That was my...
Jackie said, I'm coming out
She's
clear.
She's not coming out the gate.
Very strong.
You don't want to go there. Very.
Because he just snatched me out.
You said he just restored me and...
No, I was extremely zealous.
I tried to save as many people as possible.
I was extremely zealous. I was going on online. I was tagging everybody on Facebook that I used to go to the club with and saying, y'all are going straight to hell. Straight to hell, dancing with demons and Nephilim and fallen seraphim. And that was when Waka Flocka and I was out.
Oh, you know,
in this club.
I'm coming to club, shaking my dreads, throwing these bones and busting these.
Shake that booty meat. What are you doing? You got a dunk. What are we doing here?
You say y'all are going to hell, and I'm trying to help you.
So you were rescuing everyone that was in the club.
In the wrong
you
go way.
In the wrong phase. Way.
None of them received
that.
It.
Ooh, yeah.
None of them received
I had to stop
it.
Myself. Yeah. I was like, you can't say that to people.
That was ridiculous.
You are still lost, baby.
I feel like I don't know if you ever went through this, but I was raised. So my story is a little different because I was raised in church. Like I was submerged. Mm-hmm. Into all things God from the moment my mom found out she was pregnant
That's
with me.
Good.
She, I mean, dunked me.
I remember being in her stomach.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. So like, it was just, I've always been submersed in, had an acknowledgement and awareness of God. It was never foreign to me. But I went through a phase where I was like super zealous in my walk. And then I remember transitioning, and I feel like I'm coming on the other side of this thing, but I was in a place for a while where grace was, it completely altered the way that I looked at God. Mm-hmm. Like I started to question a lot of things that I knew his word said. I started to question all of that.
Yeah.
I started to question if it was really real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started to question like, well, if you are so loving and you are so kind and you are so good, why X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
Why does this even matter? Mm-hmm. Why can't we listen to this type of music? Why can't we do these type of things? Like I was very relaxed. Mm-hmm. In convictions. Mm-hmm. I could feel that fading, that conviction fading more and more as I kept making excuses for sin. Mm-hmm. And now because he brought me to a very wild wilderness. I mean, a snatch. That was so that now he's brought me to that place and I've read his word more than I've ever read his word in my life.
Yeah.
And it is wildly changing the way that I am seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to go back to a place where I'm too overzealous and not walking in humility because I don't want to be everyone's going to hell.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that because I know that that's not helpful.
You're doing this wrong. You're wrong.
It's not helpful at all. I don't think it's helpful at all. But I'm also in a place where I know his truth.
Yeah.
And when you know it, you're responsible for what you know, not how you feel.
Yeah.
And I know certain things now. And so trying to navigate through what you know and give that and love, it feels very hard. Mm-hmm. Like this feels harder now than it ever has felt before.
Yeah.
And having this platform makes it even harder.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. 'Cause y'all have, it will cost y'all a lot to tell the truth.
All right, you guys, are you on Patreon? If the answer is no, you're tripping. Y'all are missing out on exclusive content, y'all.
You're missing out on the meat and potatoes. Just getting like the appetizer.
What? You need the full course meal. Exclusive tickets.
Yeah.
First, exclusive merch. Y'all are getting exclusive content, BTS, all of the things if you're not on Patreon.
And they get to go to the retreat.
The retreat?
It's only...
Hold on. Yeah. So you telling me we're going to... Tulum, Mexico, February 23rd, and we're only selling tickets on Patreon?
Only.
Y'all, if you're not on Patreon, you need to subscribe right now. Head over to our Patreon and join the Chain Gang, okay? We love you guys, and we'll see y'all on Patreon. Link it. Chain Gang. Boom. Boo, yeah. Join Patreon right now.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.